The Dark Web Files. Exposing the internet's hidden underbelly.
Think about your phone right now. It's a lifeline, a connection to everything and everyone you know. But what if that connection is compromised? What if the very network that carries your voice, your data, your secrets has a shadow self? A dark reflection where your identity is just another commodity for sale. Intro music, tense, electronic with a sense of discovery and unease, then fades to a low bed.
And I'm Rachel.
And this is The Invisible Signal.
Today, we're going deep inside an industry we all rely on, but few of us truly understand: telecommunications.
And we're exploring its intersection with a place that thrives in the shadows. The dark web.
You know, Mark, when we were researching this, I couldn't shake this one image. This idea of a vast global network of cables and towers, and running parallel to it, this ghost network, an economy built on exploiting the very trust we place in our devices.
For me, it was the sheer scale of it. I've always been fascinated by the infrastructure that makes our modern world possible, the engineering marvel of it all. But to learn that this same infrastructure is being used for things like industrial-scale SIM card trafficking, even state-sponsored cyber espionage, it's a vulnerability hidden in plain sight.
Exactly. It's not just about hackers and hoodies. It's about organized crime. It's about intelligence agencies, all operating in a space that's built on anonymity and technical loopholes.
And that's what we're going to unpack. We're going to look at how these underground operations are targeting telecom companies, and by extension, all of us.
And to do that, we're going to take you somewhere very few people get to go. We spoke to someone who was on the inside, a former dark web operator who specialized in exploiting these very systems.
He agreed to talk to us, to shed light on how it all works. The tools, the techniques, the targets.
What he revealed? It will change how you look at your phone forever.
So, the question we're asking today is, in a world connected by invisible signals, who is listening in the dark? And what are they after? Music swells slightly and then fades out, leaving a faint, tense hum to transition into the main episode. So that question, what are they after? It's the core of it, isn't it? Our source, the operator we spoke to, he was chillingly clear on that point.
He was. And it's not just about stealing a single piece of data. It's about hijacking the entire mechanism of trust. He kept using this one phrase: the number is the new key.
Meaning your phone number, not your password, not your fingerprint. Your phone number. Because in the modern world, that number has become the master key for resetting everything else.
Your bank account, your email, your social media, they all use text messages for two-factor authentication. They all trust that the person holding the phone with that number is you.
And that trust is the exact vulnerability they exploit. The most common method he described was SIM swapping, or as he called it, porting a soul.
That gives me a chill. So break that down. How does someone port a soul? It sounds like something out of science fiction, but it's happening every day.
It starts with reconnaissance. They gather data on a target, often someone they suspect has significant crypto assets or access to corporate funds. They buy your name, address, maybe an old password from a previous data breach on a dark web forum.
So they build a little profile on you first.
A preliminary one? Yes. Just enough to be dangerous. Then comes the social engineering. They call your mobile provider.
But wouldn't the provider have security questions? Mother's maiden name, last four of your social, that kind of thing.
They do. And that's the terrifying part. That information is often part of the same data packet they bought online, or they find it on your social media. It's shockingly available.
Oh, man. So they have the script. They call up, sound frantic, say they broke their phone and need to activate a new SIM card they just bought.
And the person on the other end of that line, a customer service agent making $12 an hour, dealing with angry customers all day, they just want to resolve the call. The operator is smooth, convincing, has the right answers.
My phone goes dead.
Your phone goes dead. The signal bars disappear. And somewhere else, maybe thousands of miles away, a new phone lights up with your number, with your identity.
And the first thing they do is what?
Straight for the email. They go to your email login, click forgot password. The reset code gets sent to their phone. Now they own your email. From there, they can pivot to everything else. It's a cascade failure of your entire digital life, and it happens in minutes.
And you're completely powerless. You're just holding a dead phone, watching the notifications for password resets pop up on your laptop, unable to stop it. You've been made a spectator to your own robbery.
A spectator. Yeah, that's exactly it. And the stage for that robbery, the weak point in the whole fortress, is that one person. The one you mentioned. The customer service agent, who's just trying to get through their shift.
But, I mean, there have to be protocols, right? I can't imagine these massive telecom companies haven't thought about this. Don't they have flags for suspicious activity? Like, an account that's been stable for 10 years suddenly needs an urgent SIM swap from a new device?
You would think so. And sometimes those flags do work. But our source explained that the operators have ways around them. They'll call at 3 a.m., when the most experienced staff are off duty. Or they'll call repeatedly, hoping to get a new or less trained agent. It's a numbers game. But he also described something far more direct.
What do you mean?
He said, social engineering is, it's plan A. It's effective. But plan B is simpler. You don't trick the insider. You buy them.
Wait, you mean they're paying off employees inside the phone companies?
For a few $100s, yeah. Think about it. An anonymous message on an encrypted app to a call center employee in, say, the Philippines or a rural American town. An offer of $500, maybe $1,000, which could be a month's salary or more, just to process one port request.
Oh my God. So the whole elaborate story, the frantic act, it's not even necessary sometimes. It's just a direct transaction.
It's a transaction. The operator sends the target's phone number and the new SIM card number. The insider, the mole, just pushes it through the system. It's clean. It bypasses all the security questions, all the potential red flags, because it's coming from a trusted user on the inside.
That changes the entire picture. This isn't just about clever hackers finding loopholes. This is about organized crime building networks of compromised employees. A supply chain for identity theft.
That's precisely what it is. Our source described forums on the dark web dedicated to this. They aren't just selling data, they're selling access. They'll have posts advertising, you know, AT&T Insider, $800 per port, 30-minute turnaround. They even have reviews, like it's some dark version of Yelp.
That's chilling. So a criminal group can essentially outsource the riskiest part of their operation to a network of anonymous insiders, all coordinated through the dark web.
And the telecom companies are in a constant losing battle of whack-a-mole. They fire one person, but the network just recruits another. The financial incentive is just too strong for some people.
And the person on the other end, the one holding the now useless phone, they have no idea. They think they're the victim of a clever hacker. But in reality, their security was sold out from under them for the price of a used car.
Exactly. And that phrase you used, a supply chain for identity theft, that's what's going to stick with me. It reframes the whole thing. It's not a glitch in the system. It's a feature of a dark economy that's been built right alongside the one we use every day.
It's so industrialized. That's the part I can't get over. The idea of a forum with reviews for insiders, it's just business. A cold, calculated transaction where the product being sold is someone's entire life.
And the cost is so low. A few $100s to detonate a person's financial and digital security. It makes you wonder, what's the real solution here? We as individuals can be careful, but how do we defend against a threat that's coming from inside the castle walls?
That's the question, isn't it? I mean, what are we supposed to do? Stop using our phones? Go completely off the grid? It feels impossible. We're trapped in a system where the very mechanism for security, two-factor authentication via text, has become the primary weapon used against us.
Well, our source did mention a few things. It's not a perfect shield, but it's about adding friction, making yourself a less appealing target. For one, you can call your provider and add a verbal password or a high-security PIN to your account that's required for any changes, specifically for porting.
So, you add another layer that isn't written down anywhere they can find it.
Right. And the other big one is moving away from SMS for two-factor authentication wherever you can, using an authenticator app like Google Authenticator or Authy, or a physical security key.
Because those are tied to your physical device, not your phone number. If they swap your SIM, they still get nothing.
They get nothing. It cuts the chain right at the beginning. It doesn't solve the insider problem, but it neuters the main reason they'd target you in the first place.
That's something. It is. But I still feel this deep unease. The fact remains that this vulnerability is systemic, and it's built on exploiting people, both the victims and the underpaid employees who are tempted by that offer of a month's salary for a few clicks.
I agree. The individual fixes are just patches. The real change has to come from the telecom companies. They need to be held accountable for these internal breaches. It's a fundamental flaw in their architecture of trust.
For me, the biggest takeaway is just the loss of innocence. I used to look at my phone and see a tool, a convenience. Now, I see a liability, a ghost in the machine that I didn't even know was there. The invisible signal we talked about at the start, it feels a lot darker now.
It does. It's a reminder that our digital world is built on a foundation we can't see. And in the shadows of that foundation, there are people actively working to turn our trust against us. Outro music. The tense electronic theme from the intro begins to fade in, low and atmospheric.
And I'm Rachel.
You've been listening to The Invisible Signal.
Thanks for joining us in the dark.